You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on a sniper's knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And by golly, Tom was driving back home for Thanksgiving, and he just went through the mountains here a little bit ago. And of course, his cell phone coverage is really bad, and there's also a storm going on over there right now, so... We decided I'd just take the show and for tonight, and he'll be on next week. I'd like to wish everybody out there, all of our friends and our Bigfoot family, happy Thanksgiving. We wish you all blessings of hopefully tomorrow with a happy Thanksgiving dinner, and we all hope that everybody has a good year that's abundant and for everyone. And You have some good times coming on. There's so many bad times that all of us have probably trudged through in the last couple of years here. And I'm not sure it's going to get that much better, but it would be nice if you did. But anyway, let's get on with what we have here. Tonight, we've got a full lineup, and our first guest is Chief. And he's from Alabama, and he's a member of the Chickamauga Nation in Alabama there, and he has some experiences he'd like to share with us tonight. And I'm going to go right out there to the chief. Chief, how are you, my friend?
I see you, Brother Tom. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is Marco Bill. Tom didn't make it on tonight. he's still driving through the mountains through the storm.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, Chief, could you just tell us a little bit about you? And you've had some experiences and things, and go right into. I mean, there's a lot of action going on down where where you are.
Oh yes, sir. Now, I was born up north and everything, but my mother's side of the family was born here in Alabama, so I've lived here off and on all my life. And my family has had many, many experiences with Bigfoot, and now I've heard they claim, that they're sighted more up there in the Pacific Northwest and stuff like that, but they have no clue how thick and how many sightings and stuff there are of them here in Alabama.
Oh, absolutely. We know that for sure. We just got back from there. We've been there several times. And, in fact, let me tell you something, Chief, there's most of the places around, surrounding states and stuff, there isn't a state that we haven't had activity in. We have some hot spots. But, Alabama, West Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, New York. We had Oklahoma. I just got a call from Oklahoma last night from a lady. So, there's all kinds of activity going around, and Alabama has a lot of activity.
Well, yeah, it is, and there's Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, and everything. There's still wooded places here that probably no human has ever seen. If they have seen it, it's been hundreds of years ago. And so then there's still plenty of places for them to roam freely here, and never be sighted. But my grandmother's house is about 15 miles from here, and they've owned it since about 65. And there was two different Bigfoot frequented her, that property on a nightly basis. Ever since they've owned it. Now, if it wasn't one, there would be another one there, and sometimes both of them would be there at the same time. She grew a large garden, so they, could come and go, and they'd eat, but they'd never tear anything up. They'd eat what they wanted and stuff, and then go on. It was just common. They were seen like on a daily and nightly basis, and they were just accepted, so they had that attitude, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's pretty neat. Well, tell us some of the things that have taken place.
Well, actually, all of them, I've got quite a few instances and stories and stuff that's happened, but, they're very curious, and the ones that was around my, grandmother's house, like I said, they had gotten familiar with my family, I guess you could say, and the place, so they weren't as shy as they normally would be, and elusive and, avoiding stuff. So they would come around, and they really wouldn't go out of their way to hide. They would just come and go as they pleased, which was fine with us. But one, for instance, there's a bedroom in the back of my grandmother's house, and the windows was a good 10 foot off the ground. And my uncle, two of my cousins, they were, I guess, in their early 20s at the time. So, and they was all asleep in this bed. It's the middle of summer, so the window was open, trying to cool off the place and everything. And this Bigfoot comes up, reaches in, and grabs my uncle by the leg gently, and just starts pulling him across the bed towards the open window. Now, if there was any malice or if it was trying to hurt him, he could have. But it was just messing with him, just playing with him, and was pulling him towards the window. My uncle wakes up, sees what's happening, you know, starts yelling and screaming, grabs a hold of my cousin, one of my cousins, with a death grip, says, you know, if I'm going, you're going with me. So they're all yelling and screaming. He grabs a hold of his brother, and it's like everyone's yelling and screaming and kicking, and this thing the whole time just slowly pulling him across the bed and just messing with him, you know. If it wanted to, it could have jerked him out that window and killed him. But like I said, it just done that for a short amount of time, and then just turned him loose. You know, it was just playing with him.
My gosh, that's something else. And you've had some other experiences as well?
Yes, I have been in
the
same room.
I'm talking about your family, yeah.
Yes, I mean, all of them, and it's many people around here, you know, have seen them. And I guess that they don't go out of their way to talk about it because why would they? You know, and a lot of people are skeptics, and, you know, it's seeing one of those walking around here is really no bigger a deal than, you know, seeing a dog run across the road.
Right.
It's that common. But now, when I lived up in Ohio, I was in the same room with one of them once in an old abandoned farmhouse. Me and my brother and my cousin, you know, there was two of them was known to frequent this, you know, and I don't know if they would come in to get in, you know, out of the cold or whatever, but they had pretty much laid claim to this property. And my uncle, my brother, some cousins, everything, was fixing this great big old farmhouse up, you know, kind of like his little place to hang out. And they had come in one night and run them off. Well, that, you know, scared them enough to where they stayed away for a month or two or three. And one day I overheard my brother and my cousin talking about it and that they wanted to go back. Now, I was about 13 at the time, you know, and I just begged and begged and begged, you know, because I wanted to go too. And they finally, you know, agreed that I could go along. Now, so we go there. It's broad daylight. And we'd stop and got some snacks, you know, and it was going to be like a little, you know, camp out in the old house, you know, and just to see what we could see. Now, like I said, this thing was three stories and a full open attic, open basement and everything. And we had went up into the attic, you know, because it was four-sided and windows, and we could see, look out these windows and see anything for a long ways off, you know, and it was beautiful, crystal clear night, you know, pretty close to a full moon, so it was very bright, you know, and but we had the flashlights and all that. But anyways, sometime later that night, I don't know what time it was, they come in, you know, and you could plainly hear as heavy as these things were walking around. Well, you know, then it occurred to us, here we are, we're up here in the attic, which is like the fourth floor, and they're down there. There's four floors in between us, and they're on the ground floor. That might not have been such a good idea on our part. But this, you know, you could hear them walking around. Make a long story short, one of them had crawled up or climbed up the side of this house and was making its way over to one of the windows that we were sitting beside, because you could hear, you know, this thing creaking and groaning under the weight of this thing. So the only thing that occurred to us was, you know, let's run for it. You know, we didn't know where the other one was at, but, you know, hindsight's 20/20, we just took off running. We go down out of the attic to the third floor to the second floor. When we hit the second floor, the, you know, it was wide open. And this, like I said, this is an old Victorian-style house. Those had those huge, tall windows that went practically from the floor to the ceiling, you know. Mm-hmm. And as we got to the second floor, there stood the other one about 15 foot away in the wind. You know, it was standing facing us, you know, and at our angle, you know, it took up, it was in that space of the window. There might have been a couple of feet from its head to the ceilings. It was a good 9 foot tall. And it stood there 15 foot at the most away from us. Like I said, my cousin had a 30-30 strapped across his back. He never even thought, you know, that gun never crossed his mind. Me being at the age I was, it scared me. It scared me so bad I wet my pants.
Wow.
you know, and but it never offered to come after us, and we just kept on running, you know, and down, you know, in the car, and away we went. Now, and after that, we didn't go back, you know, but that was just, for instance, up north, you know. But.
Gosh. Well, you know what? I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight, Chief. What I want to do is I want to have you on next week again, if you didn't mind, because I know you've got quite a few things that have happened there that you know since we talked there, and I'd like you to come on and share a lot of those with us, if you wouldn't mind.
Well,
would
I would be
okay?
honored to. I'd be honored to,
well,
brother.
We'd be honored to have you on. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, and I wish you a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and everybody.
And
I'll just unmute you out if you want. You can listen to the rest of the show.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And take care, my friend.
You too, brother. And happy Thanksgiving to all your listeners.
Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Chief from Alabama. And our next – I got a guest that's coming on here. He's an unscheduled – I didn't have him scheduled in there, but we've been trying to get him on here for the last couple of weeks. And tonight he was able to come on, and he gave me a call, and we're ready to have him. Dean from Michigan. Dean is a friend of Mike from Michigan's. Dean, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am.
Well, Dean, how are you doing, my friend?
Good, good.
Well, why don't you tell us, you know, the experiences that you've had with this creature, and let us know. Now, we've had Mike, you know Mike, right? And
right.
We've had Mike on a few times, and he continues to have his outings out there in his wooded area and with his bears and things. But you've had some unique experiences that I'd like. Would you share those with us, please?
Well, yeah. First of all, you know, my experience is so incredible. I can't believe it myself. Actually, you know, but. What happened is true, and it all started. I retired in 2002, and I moved up to the UP from the Detroit area, and I bought a place up here, and you know I got a nice deck outside, and it started in 2004 when I was sitting out there, and I would hear this whoop whoop. For all my life, I was, what the heck was that? You know, I thought it sounded like a jungle bird, you know. Anyway, from 2004 to 2008, I probably heard that noise 3-4 times at least.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, I got a couple spotlights and stuff, and I shine a light out the window and just to see if any deers or whatever's hanging out outside, you know. And I seen this pair of green eyes out in the raspberry patch one night, you know. I go, holy cow, something's out in the raspberries, and I never seen nothing like that, you know, them eyes in my life. They were green eyes that shine sideways, horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't know what it was at first, and all I could see was the eyes, you know, and I shined the light around the yard, and I came back, and I sort of just, like, moved the light off of the eyes there, and I could see this thing standing there, and I freaked out. I thought it was, holy cow, it's the devil out there, because it had a face on it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at it, so I moved the light a little bit where it wasn't shining in his eyes, and I could see this thing standing there, and it was just probably about 4 foot tall, and it had a human face on it. But it was, you know, it was a little Bigfoot is what it was. I mean, it had a cone head, it had hairy body,
mm-hmm.
Its arms hanging down to his, past his knees.
Yeah, what was the facial features like?
Looked just like a little boy. What can I
oh,
tell
really?
You?
How about the nose? Was it flatter or what?
No, it was a tiny little pointed nose.
Really? Wow. It's pretty
tiny
neat.
Point, you know.
What color was the flesh
nose,
and the face?
Face had just a little bit of hair on his cheeks, but the rest of his face was just skin. He looked just like a little boy that needed a shave, you know?
Wow. That's pretty neat.
But then, you know, that was the first sighting. Then I got an outdoor furnace. That probably happened in 2008. That probably happened in, I'd say, the end of July, first part of August, something like that,
uh-huh.
When the raspberries were still ripe. Then right around, I don't know, the end of August, first part of September, when it started getting cold, and I started up my outdoor furnace. I forgot to put wood in one night, so about 11 o'clock at night I went out there to throw some wood in the furnace. And all of a sudden the trees start shaking, and man, I said, what the hell? And then the trees, the bushes or whatever were shaking like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden it sounded like something jumped. I could hear a thump where it landed.
Right.
And then something let out this tremendous whoop, whoop. I go, holy cow. Now I know what's making that noise. I thought it was a bird making that noise. But,
uh-huh.
You know, it wasn't.
Wow.
That was like, you know, right around, I would say Labor Day, you know, right around the first part of September. Then, about the middle of October, I shot a deer with my bow just
yeah.
before dark. Well, I trailed it, and it got dark, and my light went out, and the blood trail sort of got thin, you know. So the next morning, I went out there, and I started looking for that deer right at the break of dawn. And, you'd have to see, but there's a row of pine trees, and, you know, the grass was about thigh high. And I made one pass down, I turn around, come back, and I'm looking underground and looking in the weeds for the deer, and all of a sudden I heard something, you know. And I looked to my right, and all of a sudden, it was like, I saw something, and it was like, drop my deer. I mean, I saw the deer fall. The back of the head came down first, then the back, and then the back legs were the last thing to come. And the first thing I thought was, holy cow, something just dropped my deer.
Wow.
And it was from like seven foot in the air, you know. And it was like, I saw something, but there was nothing there. So
good,
the
gosh.
Holy cow, maybe the thing's still alive or jumped up and it was last whatever. So I ran over there. But the deer's laying there dead. But right around the deer, though, first of all, it stunk terrible. I mean, from a musky smell, stunk.
Yeah.
And all the grass is matted down all around where the deer was laying. I mean, in a 10-foot circle. And I'm thinking, well, that deer must have been, like, kicking and thrashing all night, but there was no, like, hoof marks where it's like, holy shit, something was just here.
Wow.
And, I mean, I ain't kidding you. I could feel the electricity in the air. I mean, the back of my neck was standing up and going, holy cow, so, I thought maybe it was the wolves or something. I said, well, the wolves would have ate it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, holy cow, maybe maybe what everyone, the Indians and, the people from Nepal and everything say is true, that these things can disappear or something, you know. But anyways, I gutted the deer, and I was actually sitting there talking to them. I know you guys are here and stuff like that, and I put my shotgun down because I had a shotgun in my hand. And I gutted the deer, and I actually pulled the guts out, and I pulled the heart out, and said, here, this is your guys. I'm going to leave this. This is my deer. I need this deer. This, you know, I shot it. And I went back up to my house there, got my four-wheeler, brought it back, and the deer was still there. I dragged it home, hung it up, within 20 minutes maybe, I walked back down there and went partridge hunting. I said, well, I got my hunting clothes on. And And I made a big circle, you know. And I came back and said, well, I'll go back right by where the gut pile was. And within 1 hour, I looked at my watch. I came back by that gut pile with 1 hour from when I gutted it. And that whole gut pile was gone. Everything.
Wow.
The stomach, the heart, everything was gone. So then that was in the middle of October. I say about 2 weeks later, I got up and shined the light out the window. And I remember it was 4 o'clock in the morning. I shined the light out the window and there was this big one standing out there. And I just stood there and we just stared at it. I mean, first of all, the little one, I stood there and stared at him for probably 5 minutes or 4 or 5 minutes, didn't move. Same thing with this one. He just stood there. I mean, all I saw of the big one was his head because he was behind, you know, he was behind a raspberry patch and there was, small trees and stuff. And he just stood there and we stared at each other for about 5 minutes, I bet you.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can tell you was, wow, I couldn't believe my eyes. And it looked like just a man.
Yeah.
I mean, with his face, he looked just like a human being. I mean, a giant head.
Wow. Wow.
And then, all right, so that was, that year I had a bear permit, and they were getting into my bear bait. I couldn't figure out what was getting into my bear bait. But they were like, I had a cinder block over, I had a barrel down there, like a blue plastic barrel that had chocolate-covered cherries in it. So, I had that down there, and I had a bunch of logs around the bottom so that, the coons and stuff couldn't knock the barrel over. Then I had a piece of plywood on the barrel, and then two cinder blocks or a cinder block on top of the plywood. And some kept, take the cinder block and the plywood off, but wouldn't knock the barrel over, It was scooping the stuff out of the barrel. I couldn't figure out what was doing it. But then, once I saw these things, I started putting two and two together. And I was going, holy cow, these things are getting into my bear bait,
Wow.
That was in 08. And then in 09... I started, started sitting out on the deck more at night, And then I saw one night where I just shined the light out there and I caught a glimpse of his eye and I see the side of his head and he just sort of just stuck straight down behind the bushes. And then I saw another one night. Well, all I saw was the eyes, but I saw these two big green eyes, and he just ducked behind a tree one night. He just ducked his head behind a tree down the bottom of the hill there.
Oh, man.
So I've seen him at least four times, and I had a couple of, encounters with him out in the woods.
Wow. Well, gosh, Dean, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing it. If you got some time, maybe we can have you on again just to go through some of the other stuff as well. I know you think you have some other things too.
Well, I just want everyone out there to know that these things, and I do have pictures of it too. I mean, a friend of mine named Hank has gotten pictures of these things on his trail cams. And actually, it's pretty incredible, the picture, but, from what I can figure out, that these things can cloak themselves. I know they can cloak themselves where they can disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And how they do it, I think, because they have some kind of an energy source. And what they do is they throw their arm up in the air, and this cloak comes over them, and they disappear. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I've got the picture to prove it.
Yeah, could you, maybe a little later on I'll contact you. And maybe if you didn't mind, you could send them to me and we could take a look at it. I could post it on the website. Everybody else can look at it too.
And you'd be amazed. I'm that kid.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But for all, For all them people out there that run around thinking they're going to find a Bigfoot, they're wasting their time because these could be like chasing a ghost around because these things can cloak themselves whenever they want, you know?
Oh, man. Well, I want to thank you again, Dean, for coming on and sharing your story with us. And I'll get a hold of you during the week here, and maybe we can have you on again, if you didn't mind.
Oh, no, sure.
I appreciate you coming on here and doing this. And I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving.
And you too, Marco.
Your family. Thank you so much. And I want to meet you out now, and we got another guest to go on.
Give me a call, and I'll send you a copy.
You got it. I'll give you a call probably Friday. How's that?
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you. And take care now. You can listen to the rest of the show on here if you'd like.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dean from Michigan. And now we're going to go to a quick little commercial, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to go out there and talk with Anthony. Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, my friends, and we're going to go out here to Virginia to talk to Anthony. Anthony, how are you tonight, my friend?
Doing good, Marco Bill. Hope you're doing well. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
The same to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, why don't you just give us a little quick little rundown of, last week you had a harrowing experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, just, to talk about what happened to me last week, like I said, I was at the substation, when I parked the vehicle by the substation, and again, this is where it all started for me 2 years ago with the rock throwing at the hut. I've walked behind the substation many times before, but this time I walked out there. I didn't even get halfway around the substation, or I heard a scream come from right in front of me, and I couldn't even, to me it was just a little wooded area. It was into the woods, but it felt like it was so close I didn't know where it was coming from. And then there was a response behind me. Literally felt like I was cornered, and I'm like, but I still made, kind of ran back for the truck, and then that just kind of stood and watched from a distance to see if something was coming out from somewhere. But, this particular substation is so thick into the woods, that you tell if something is there or not, unless it like really makes himself, visible. But even if you got your hunting clothes on and you don't have any anything fluorescent on you, you can easily blend in and not be seen. So later on, when I drove up to the location where Tom had casted that footprint last year, went over there, and kind of interesting because I remember reading up on someone that didn't have any sticks and they just banged on their vehicle. So I did the same, and I was getting responses,
Wow.
So, I kind of have utility bin, right, and I just banged on that. It kind of made it like a deep thump sound, and so in the distance there was a thump. But happened, I knocked on it once, and I got a response. And then I knocked on it again, I got a response. But the third time I didn't get a response. And so so it's definitely like Tom said when he first got there. He said this is definitely a hot spot out there. But and I know that I tried to get in touch with the neighbor. He wasn't home on another occasion. I had stopped and seen him. He said that something was definitely being killed out there. He had heard it, and whatever it was howling pretty bad. But he was just waiting to see what it was that was, destroying this creature. I mean, him and the son was out there just watching and waiting, to see what was going to be popping out through them trees. You know, I happened to, and on another location, happened to notice on a neighbor's property that does not want to, at this time, be mentioned. But I've been on the property. I set out some game cameras because out in this location, there is definitely got some evidence there of activity in this area. Totally new, never mentioned this before. But I was just out there setting out some game cameras. And I'll tell you why, because there's definitely something making deep impressions on this property. And when I followed the tracks, and got to the edge where the fence was, it was pretty obvious that something was pushing the fence down so that they can come over it, And when you look in one direction, you could see the barbed wire on the top of the fence, but when you look to see where it's pushed down, the barbed wire is ripped off kind of and then just thrown right there on the ground. So I got it kind of hidden in that direction just to see if anything is going to be coming from that particular area. But there's definitely you can see impressions in the tall grass that's still around. But there's no definite footprints. But you could definitely tell something with big feet is coming through this area here.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty neat. And did you? Let me ask you a question. Did you? Were you able to ever go back to the area where that you heard the scream and find anything at all, or did you look, or you didn't bother to look?
I did try. Like I said, after that time, I was kind of like looking from a distance, because I just kind of felt secure in my truck. I didn't.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't blame you a bit. I just wondered if you happened to. Wander back there to see if there was any tracks or anything that was left.
Didn't notice any tracks.
Obviously, you don't want to do that after a...
Not by myself.
Still shivering,
anyway.
Right?
Yeah, but there was not a lot, but there was a few fresh branches that were broken. Right around the same area. That's the only thing that I noticed. Didn't notice any tracks or anything, but that was the only thing that I noticed. It was kind of like probably about 10 feet up in the air, these branches that would kind of like just snap downward, nothing like that chief that you had earlier. I didn't have an encounter like that or the previous guest. Those were some awesome encounters. And I'm glad that, that the chief over there has got some friendly ones,
Wow.
Yeah. But
well, gosh. I want to thank you for coming on tonight there, Anthony, and sharing with us and keeping us up to date. I'm still looking for some people. I got a couple of calls, but I didn't get any from Virginia this week. I normally get at least one or two a month from Virginia.
Well, from now until January, I'm available. So if any of those guys are listening, you just give me a call and we'll work something out.
Yeah, and anybody, if you're out there listening and you want, you can call the Bigfoot Hotline and get a hold of me, and then I'll put you in touch with Anthony. Okay?
Sounds good.
Well, Anthony, thank you for coming on and sharing with us. I wish you a happy Thanksgiving and you and your family and everything.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll see
your family and all your listeners out there.
Okay, my friend. I'm going to mute you out, and you can listen to the rest of your show if you'd like.
I will. All right. Have a good night.
Good night, now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Anthony. And next we're going to go out here to Tyrone. We're going to go to the Choctaw Nation in Mississippi. Tyrone, how are you? How are you, Tyrone? I hope I didn't put you to sleep, my buddy. Okay, what we'll do is we're going to go to Chris, and then we'll come back to Tyrone here after Chris. Well, Chris, how are you, my friend? Chris, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, don't worry. That's okay. I think Tyrone fell asleep.
It sounded like it was breathing in the background. I kind of got
excited. I think you fell asleep. Maybe I'll wake up here. Tell us what, you know, last week we did something a little different. You were out on an expedition with your friend, and basically what we did is, of course, you didn't bring any weapons. You're weaponless. You didn't have the flashlight on, so it was pitch dark. And as you were going through the area there, you heard some rustling in the brush.
Yeah, sure did.
And then not only that, but something threw something with, first of all, about less than 10 feet from you in front, and then something else landed behind you. And you were doing some...
Three different ways they were coming from is what it sounded like. It sounded like it was being thrown from three different directions.
Yeah. And so when we stopped the show, you know, because we just had to go on, you were still trying to do some tree knocking. So why don't you kind of fill us in on what happened?
Well, right as the show stopped, me and my buddy was moving towards in front of us where the rock that got the closest to us when it hit and where it landed, we were moving towards that rock. And I had did some calls. They were pretty loud, and it sounded like things kind of got still, and that's when we decided that we weren't going to just sit there. We were going to walk towards where the rocks were coming from, because it's kind of like what was going on, the activity that was going on was happening when we were sitting there being real quiet, and we weren't doing a lot of moving. And we were wearing full camo, but, you know, I'm sure that the creature knew we were out there as much as I've been learning from being out there. It's kind of like you know when they know that you're out there, because you'll have tree knocks and you'll have vocalizations, but you never get to see anything. The encounters that I've had where I had visual eyes on something moving, it was always like when I startled it, when I came up on it and it didn't expect it. And then, you know, I've never been lucky enough to get like a really good facial look or anything like that. All I know is there's something really massive out there. But when we got done, we were walking towards it. We were kind of walking back towards the pipeline because it almost looked like a car had stopped. And where we're at, let me explain to the people. I'm in Union County, Arkansas, South Arkansas. The woods here are awesome for all types of creatures to live in, and something large like this probably wouldn't have any problem living here. It would have plenty of food, hogs, deer, raccoons, possums. I mean, I'm not sure what they eat, but there's plenty of grains here as well, cornfields. It wouldn't have a problem surviving in this ecosystem. And what I've learned from is that they kind of watch you, but at the same time, like, they're trying to stay away so you don't see them. So it's almost like you've got to catch them slipping, and that's real hard to do. And just like when we got off the radio show, I thought we heard something, and my buddy is the one that pointed it out, which is always real cool when I've had something happen, somebody else is with me and hasn't been out there as much as I have will point something out that, you know, I might be listening too hard or just overexcited, and he'd be like, you know, nervous because he hadn't been out there a lot, and especially being pitch black with no weapons. He was like, man, do you hear that? It sounds like something is, the leaves are moving behind us. Listen when we stop. And every now and then we'd have to look to see where we were stepping. We'd walk a little bit, and we had to stop and let our eyes readjust. And it did definitely sound like something was, like, trying to walk when we were walking in the leaves and trying to stop when we stopped, because, I mean, the sounds didn't match up. We got back to the pipeline. We started walking back down towards the road. And about these woods, there are houses around here. The encounter that I had first time was actually right by my house, not 200 yards from my back door. But to get on with it, we were walking back towards the road, and we heard something break loose through the woods in the direction that we were walking, the direction where we heard the leaves shuffling around. So as we were walking out, you could hear the leaves moving around, and we kept moving forward. And then we got back to the pipeline. Well, when we got to the pipeline, something would either had to walk out to the pipeline with us or it was still going to be in the woods. And we started walking down. Of course, now we're walking quickly because we don't have anything getting in our way, and we can actually kind of see. And something blue. It literally sounded like, once again, I'm thrilled that I got to hear it for a second time, but it literally sounded like somebody let a bull loose in the woods. The amount of noise that it made running from us through the underbrush and the vines, like it wasn't something trying to run on like a path anymore. It was just trying to get away very fast. And it did move very fast, and it didn't run for very long. It's almost like it just ran far enough to where it knew that it could quieten back down and get still, and we wouldn't be able to see it. And we tried to go back out around the corner and look, and but by the time we found a way, we could get into the woods about where it was at. And once again, we were unarmed, so we didn't really feel like it was the safest thing to do to just run straight in the woods where we heard that noise. Because as loud as it was, I think it was way too loud to be even the biggest hog that we have here in South Arkansas. But if it had been a big hog, we wouldn't have been on the run up on it with no weapons. That's what we've been – that's after we got off the show. We've been out there one time during the day since then, and we didn't go back to the same area. I'm trying not to only look – I'm trying not to be single-minded. We went out to another area this right across from the original road that the house was on where we had the encounter, and there we found some nice foot impressions too, led me to believe that, you know, it's got like little hills and valleys in it, and they're really close together, so it's almost like mounds. And I'm really interested in going back out there and looking there a little more, because the vocalization that I have on YouTube, where I was at on the road, where I was recording, that's about in there is about where it sounded like it would have been coming from to me. Now, I can only say where it sounded like, what direction it was coming from, and about how far away I think it was. So according to just me guessing, that's about where I think it might have been at when it was making those noises. And it's definitely a good place to be because, like I said, it could stand up fully. And if you were on the other side of this little valley from it, you would never be able to see it because you would be down just as low as it is, and then there would be a mound in front of you. So you would literally have to walk right up on it. I mean, if they were bedding up down in there during the daytime, they would hear you coming, you know, far before you ever got close enough to actually see if they were over that little mound and in them little valleys. So, I mean, I'm kind of excited to get back out there, but, I mean, that's what's new here in South Arkansas, Bill.
By golly, thank you so much, Chris, for coming on and sharing with us. Of course, we'll keep in touch with you as time goes on, and you know you can contact me anytime if you get out there and you find some more stuff, and that will get you back on here to tell us about it. Thank you for coming on, and appreciate it.
I'll be going out there at least three times a week coming up, probably.
Okay.
So, I mean, we should definitely have something else to talk about come Wednesday. So just, you know, you count me in. I always like listening to the stories and hearing what other people have to say.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too, and I appreciate you having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. Take care now. You can listen to the rest of the show if you'd like. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris from Arkansas. And we're going to go back to see if we got Tyrone. Hello, Tyrone.
Hello.
How are you?
No, just fine.
We had to miss you there for a couple seconds.
Yeah.
how are things going, Tyrone? Tell us what's going on.
Well, things are pretty quiet here now, but I'm sure that, you know, some will have some kind of experience with the creature here sooner or later. But so far this year, many people have come out to let me know what kind of encounters and sightings that they've had before and years before.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell everybody, just in case they don't know. Tyrone is from the Choctaw Nation in Mississippi. And we've been there, what, 3 or 4 times already now, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And basically they've had a lot of activity. Now, the activity that's happening in Theron's place is unbelievable. His mother's house has had a lot of activity around that area. His mother, I think your sister, your nieces, I think, mm-hmm. or is it a niece?
Yeah.
all of them have had visual encounters, and one actually was seen the creature carrying a deer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
a deer, right?
And this is right. This is not in the woods or anything. This is like right in the middle of the reservation, in the town. In fact, you've had a couple of instances where they've had sightings where they're right there in the right next to the casino, right?
Mm-hmm. Right there in broad daylight,
right
next to the casino.
Gosh. So there's a lot of stuff going on there, and
yeah.
So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted everybody to understand. Yeah, you know where you are and what's been going on and the kinds of encounters that you guys have been having, which is you're pretty unique. So go ahead, tell us some.
Well, we've had from all the encounters that people have been telling me, we've had the creatures are coming in different colors. And the most common is the reddish brown colored creature, but here this young man that just recently passed away this past summer told me that he was walking around to his backyard and he didn't notice anything standing there, and he looked up as he was picking something up, and there he was. There was this white creature standing there watching him all the time. He said he got up and they looked at each other for at least another minute, and he didn't move, and the creature didn't move. Finally, the creature turned around and walked off, and he was telling me he had a pole, and he was measuring up the side of the building, and said this is how tall he was, you know. And I estimated that to be about 10 feet tall, you know. That's pretty tall if you saw one that tall, you know.
Now, but you're a bit of an artist also, Tyrone. And you've had some... Can you describe what has been told to you about the facial features of the creatures that people have seen?
My niece, who is 30 years old, has had three encounters with it behind my mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was the second encounter that she had. She has. They were only, maybe 10 yards away or something like that. We're standing there watching her, but she didn't really notice them until she heard some snap crackling sound. She turned around, and there they were. They were standing there together watching them, and one was taller, one was shorter. Anyway, she reported as being real ugly, but the eyes, she said, she locked eyes with the taller creature, and the sclera of the eyes, which is the white part of the eye that we have.
Right.
It was reddish, and kind of a nose, flat nose, and described it as gorilla-like, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the mouth. She said that it opened its mouth and let out a low guttural growl, and she could see the teeth. She said she could see the bottom teeth. She didn't say anything about the top teeth, row teeth, but she saw the bottom row. And she said she locked eyes with this creature, and she said it must have been about a second or so, but she said that it seemed like a long time. She she ran as fast as she could. But the but that's her third sighting. I think this last sighting they had was last December, and my 3-year-old niece was really excited looking out the window, and my mother sitting on her wheelchair, and looked out, and she called for Jessica, which is my 30-year-old niece, the little girl mother. They watched this creature only yards walking across the yard, and from the front porch only yards. She described it as really tall and huge, and it walked, kind of slumped a little bit. The head was a little, the back was arched, and the head was kind of looking down a bit. And she said there was brown, and it was all hairy, and it seemed like some parts of the creature's body, hairy part of the body, was matted, and it looked like he'd been laying in mud somewhere, That's how my mother described it, and she said when it took steps, its arms swung back and forth, and she said the driveway, she said this creature took one step over the driveway, and his whole body was across the driveway already,
So wow.
This drive,
pretty big stride, didn't it?
Big stride. And my sister coming home one late night, there's a curve going up to my mother's house, and when she turned the curve, and the beam from the car shined in that particular area, she said she saw the creature walking into the woods. She only saw it just a couple of seconds, but she saw it had a deer on its shoulder walking into the woods. And one of the exciting things that she said that one night a deer crossed the way in that same road there, in that same general area, and she said her eyes was focused on a deer that ran across her path, and all of a sudden this huge creature got in front of her, and she said, I had to step on the brake just to keep from hitting the creature. And the creature was pursuing the deer. So I found out that the creature has a diet of deer, too. So there's been a lot of activities around the area. This past year, and I had my own Bigfoot experience 40 years ago when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't the only one. There were several of us high school boys, We were out in the woods behind my dad's market, and somebody said, what's that? And everybody ran, And I got to look at it for a second, but I was so scared that I ran. Mm-hmm. I didn't stand and just look. I looked for a second, and I saw something, but I can't describe what it was. It was only like a big dark shadow in the dark, Mm-hmm. And it literally... followed us, and you could hear it stomping, stepping on branches and such, and breaking it, and he was just following us, you know, and we got up to the main highway, and it kept on coming. And so we all ran away, you know. So the guy that took a good look at it said that it was big and tall and dark and hairy, you know, and that's all they could see, since we only had a campfire, you know, out in the woods.
Right.
And you couldn't really see because it wasn't daylight. But I saw a little bit of it, and I ran, and I heard it right behind me. So I have no doubt that these creatures exist, and with my family's multiple sightings and the stories that I've accumulated over the years, you know, just convinces me what I saw that night is a real living being of some sort, you know. And,
sure.
And nobody really ever talked about it, but when Tom and his crew came to investigate, people are literally just calling me or coming over to my house, and or sometimes they're coming over to where I work at just to tell me about their own experiences. So I'm glad that Tom came, and if he didn't come and did his investigations, I think people would still be holding it back and not sharing their experiences with us. But thank goodness they heard of Tom coming here, and many decided to come and lay down their stories. And I am so glad that Tom came, and that he was a catalyst for people to come out and share their sightings and their encounters with us. We're still having activities somewhere around the reservation every now and then, but right now it's kind of quiet. But I talked to a man earlier today, and he's here. He's been hearing some growl, kind of growl, and so low guttural growls, and then whoops, and long screams, you know, out behind his house. And I believe that's where Tom and his crew got some photographic evidence of it from behind this man's home. So, we still have things going on. Besides, we had that one video.
Yeah.
And the video was taken by my cousin, Navian, and he inadvertently got a image of a creature, and he was panning back and forth, and finally he stops right there in the middle. And there's this creature standing there, and he keeps on looking to the right, and then he turns his body to the right. And my friend Max says it appears to be a female one, because he can make out the breast on it. And this creature turns around and walks into the woods. But when Tom and them were here, they slowed down the video. And by a thicket, there was this cone-shaped thing sticking out. And it was panning back and forth real fast, so they slowed it down. It panned away and then panned back, and we could make out the cone head. And then it panned away, and then finally panned it back real slow. And the cone head that we were seeing stood up at that point. So there was actually two creatures, and not one. we couldn't have seen two creatures in the video if they didn't slow it down, because he was panning back and forth pretty fast before he stopped at one spot. So,
well, we're running late on the show here, Tyrone, but I want to thank you for coming on tonight, and of course we're going to have you back on again. Keep in touch with me, and we'll you know, anything comes up, just give me a call, and we'll get you back on here again too.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's a lot of activity going on there, and it might have slowed down a little bit now, but it'll probably pick up.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I haven't, if I could just see it, you know, with my own eye during broad daylight like some other people have, I, as an artist, I can draw the creature just as I see him, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So hopefully I'll get a glimpse of him.
Okay, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Okay, same to you.
And I'll keep in contact with you.
Okay? Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Take care, Thoreau. We'll see you.
You take care of yourself, yeah. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are at the end of another program. We're a little bit over time, but that's okay. I just want everybody to know that I want you to wish you again happy Thanksgiving, and I wish all your family the very best, and I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday this week. Take care. We'll see you next week. Keep Bigfooting, and Tom will be back next week, okay? Take care now. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster.